S-R-N.
You ever seen that show, Cops? I was watching it one time, and there was this cop on. He was talking about this gunfight he had in the hallway with this guy, right? And he just unloaded on this guy, and nothing happened. He didn't hit nothing. Okay, it was just him and this guy. I mean, you know, it's freaky, but it happens.
Look, you want to play blind man, go walk with a shepherd. But me, my eyes are wide fucking open.
What the fuck does that mean?
I mean, that's it for me. From here on in, you can consider my ass retired.
Jesus Christ.
Don't blaspheme.
God damn it,
I said, don't do that.
Hey, you know, fuck, you're fucking freaking out on us.
Look, I'm telling Marcellus today. I'm through.
But why don't you tell him at the same time why?
Don't worry, I will.
Yeah, and I'll bet you $10,000 he'll last his ass off.
I don't give a damn if he does.
Marvin, what do you make of all this?
Man, I don't even have an opinion.
Well, you gotta have an opinion. I mean, do you think that God came down from heaven and stopped...
Oh, what the fuck's happening?
Oh, man, I shot Marvin in the face.
Welcome to episode 19 of Cinema Crespediso. It is me, Christopher Crespo, your fearless leader. You will follow me to the mountaintop, and I will guide you to a victory like Alexander the Great with elephants trampling through the Himalayas.
Damn, dude, we're conquering the world.
The voice you just heard was the number two man, is the number two man of our show, Drewster Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
It's going, man. How you doing this week?
Doing good, man. Hanging out, chilling, having a good time.
Yeah.
Ready for episode 19.
Oh, man, am I ever.
It's pretty sweet. With us, making a second appearance on the show, first time since episode 4. So, long time listeners
episodes
now,
15 later.
Episodes later, long time listeners might remember this guy, show... Our in-house aerospace engineer and turbine engineer, and what else is he? Rocket scientist, our go-to science guy, Matty J.
What's up, guys?
How's it going, Matt?
It's been a while since episode 4.
Yeah, man.
Happy to be back.
It's been a while.
Yeah, 15 weeks.
Welcome back, dude. Thanks, guys. The show's changed quite a bit since then.
Oh, wow.
Mostly in the Crespo Dome. The first half's the same. Crespo Dome is...
It's crazy.
The dome. I can't wait for the dome.
It gets pretty wild. It gets pretty wild. So how you been, man?
I've been good.
Yeah?
Yeah, we happy to see Star Trek this morning.
Yes, we saw Star Trek.
Yes, that we did.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. We'll get into that in a little bit. That's is that the first time we've seen a movie with a guest?
No. Well, we saw
like ahead of time. Well, but, oh, did we?
Yeah.
So we did that before episode 4.
Yeah.
Wow, hey, that's pretty cool, man.
It's almost a tradition.
It is now, yeah. You're
exactly.
The guest. We actually see the movies with you.
Hey.
But hey, so you've been here before. You remember how this all goes, right?
Yep.
So we're going to start with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, because that's always a good time.
Always.
Bed music this week provided by Mark Mothersbaugh.
Nice.
Rushmore soundtrack. Bottle Rocket soundtrack. Drew's got the randomizer 9000 in his hand.
Cinema Crespediso randomizer 9000. Patent pending.
Matty J, you remember how this goes, please.
Am I allowed to cheat?
Yeah, you can cheat a little bit on this one. I mean, but once you pick a piece of paper out, you're pulling it out.
Nope.
Oh, ooh. A lot of leeway in this Netflix pick. All
right, let's go for this one.
Drew still has to verify it, though, so just hand it to him before you say what it is.
Exactly.
Drew's going to look it up on
They've been
Netflix.
Switching it up a little bit.
They had a few...
See what you're doing here.
A few licenses expired recently. Mm-hmm. They dropped like 2,000 titles, but then they added like 500.
All the stars? Are the stars gone
The
now?
Star stuff has been gone for a while.
So the Disney stuff?
So, well, actually, no.
Disney's in?
Disney just signed an exclusive deal with Netflix. So starting in 2016, they're going to have an exclusive deal. Drew's giving me the thumbs up. What do we got, Drew? Woo! Oh, Matt, go ahead. Say.
Heathers.
Oh, Heathers. Yes, that's a good one. Who was I talking to? I was talking to someone recently who had never seen Heathers.
I've never seen Heathers. I don't think.
I don't remember seeing Heathers, but then you again, guys, doesn't mean I never saw it.
You guys are killing me. Sorry. When Winona Ryder is a high school She's a sophomore, junior, something like that. She's a girl in high school. The cool clique of girls, they're the Heathers.
Are they all like twins?
No, but they all have the same. They are named Heather, and they're like the cool girls or whatever. But then there's like one of them. Someone commits suicide, and it becomes like the cool thing. It's a satirical movie about 80s culture, teenage culture, and teen suicide. That was a big thing in the 80s.
Black comedy?
Suicide Club?
It's a very much black comedy. Not like Suicide Club. I mean, it's way less crazy than Suicide Club. It's more grounded in reality. Christian Slater plays a crazy guy he's like trying to push people into suicide. He tries to get the school.
Yeah.
He tries to get like a mass suicide thing going on. It's a pretty wild movie. Written by this dude, Daniel Waters, who he wrote this. He was really young when he wrote it, and then he got like a lot of acclaim for the screenplay. And then he ended up writing Demolition Man. I think he like rewrote Demolition Man.
Which wasn't that good.
I like Demolition Man. But it's weird that he goes from Heather's to that movie. And then he wrote a couple other weird ones, and then he hasn't done much since then.
So no Skinnabuns.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
No skin of buns in this movie, no.
But it's pretty wild. It's pretty good stuff. I really, really enjoy Heathers. That's a good pick. I'm going to write that down. And you know what? Also, before I forget, because I wrote this down too, a while back, because we checked, because we 1 week we picked Flame and Citrone out of the bag.
Yes.
World War II Danish movie about the like Nazi resistance, underground Nazi resistance. And we did the whole show. And then I went online to like write my little post for chriscrespo.com, and it was gone.
Wasn't angry Twitter tweets and stuff.
No one seemed to notice. No one seemed to notice, but I noticed. And
that's
what
the important thing.
And what yes. I also noticed is that Flame and Citrone is back.
Oh, nice!
On the instant Netflix. So this is almost a double pick.
After a short hiatus,
after it was gone for a couple months, but it's back. Flame and Citrone with Mads Mikkelsen.
Great movie.
Who is now Hannibal on TV. Good stuff. Good stuff. So those are two Netflix picks of the week, but we're going with Heather's. Good one. Good one, Matt. Appreciate it, dude.
Thanks.
You should feel pretty accomplished.
Well, I did cheat. I saw a few first.
Oh, that's true. All right, Drewster Cogburn, box office review. Let's do it.
All right. At number five this week, we have The Croods, which had a weekend gross of $2.75 million. Total gross of $176.75 on a budget of $135.
Made $360 million in international dollars.
Yep. So, and I've been talking about this freaking movie for 9 weeks.
So that puts that $537 million worldwide. That's a lot of money.
That's $500 million, man.
For these animated movies. That's why we're doing a Croods too.
Yep. Definitely.
We have been talking
and
about
probably
this movie.
A three.
We've been talking about this movie a lot. We've barely.
Well, it's
about
been
it
like
too.
I said. It's been in the top. It's been in the top five for the last 9 weeks.
Have you seen the Croods, Matt?
Nope.
Do you know which one that is?
Nope.
Moving on.
All right, number four this week we have Pain and Gain, which had a weekend gross of $3.1 million, total gross of $46.5 on a budget of $26.
This one's a pretty okay movie.
I thought
it was all right.
It's it seems all pretty low for a Michael Bay movie, though.
Yeah, well, it's like The Island. The Island was, that one only made like $40, $50 million.
Well, this is on the same track.
This is like one of his lower. It didn't have giant robots in it.
Nope.
What are you going to do? He is working on Transformers 4.
Is he?
With Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg.
Mackie
Mack is the new like human role for the Transformers because the four is in the middle there. And
clever.
Yeah, it is clever. Now, I'm pretty sure, even though Michael Bay said over and over when he was doing the third one that was it, I'm pretty sure he's directing the fourth one.
Well, not just producing?
He's not just producing, he's directing it. And they're doing some redesign. They're almost starting from scratch, but not really. Like, they're still acknowledging what's coming before.
Uh-huh.
But they're going in a
new storyline.
New storyline, new designs. They're changing the design up a little bit. Tangent alert. I'm really looking forward to the opening of the Transformers ride at Universal Studios.
Yes.
Ooh.
End of June. We're going to have to make a show trip out there.
Ooh.
Is it a coaster?
Yeah, definitely.
It's like the new Harry Potter ride or Spider-Man where you're on a car that moves around in a building on a track, and then it's like 3D screens in front of you, but then it's also like an actual set too. I love those kind of rides. Those are my favorite kind of rides.
Yeah, they blow smoke, smelly stuff, all that good
stuff. Yeah. Like when they had King Kong, it would blow like banana breath on you.
Yep.
Or Simpsons.
You get Simpsons, the baby powder when you're in, when they put you inside giant Maggie's mouth.
Is there going to be any fire from the sky?
Like in the Mummy ride?
Yeah.
Probably not, but it will.
I love the... That's my favorite part of that ride.
But this is the...
Oh, I know, Drew.
This is the third version of the Transformers ride that they've made, because they opened one up in Singapore and one in Los Angeles.
And they all went apeshit for it.
Yeah, everyone loves it. They're great, great rides. So this is the third one. And what's the benefit of us getting the third one is in Orlando, they get the best technology available.
Well,
now.
Yeah. Well, it's
because it's been a few years since the other ones have been open.
Exactly, and it's the theme park capital of the world here. We're gonna get the best of the best.
It is. So the 3D screens and the projection that they're using is like top of the line, the best that any ride in the world is getting. They're getting at this one over here.
Nice.
So we're going on that shit. Show Endeavor, Universal Studios, new Transformers ride. We're going. We're going to review it. We're going to review it.
Of course.
This is where you got to ride the movies, man.
Yeah.
That's right up our alley.
Well, you know, we should make, obviously, we should do like a bonus episode of, we can review Universal Studios.
Yes.
Because everything is themed there, so we can, you know, we can talk about the Terminator ride and everything else and blah, blah, blah.
If anyone from Universal Studios listening and you want to give us some sort of VIP tour backstage stuff, hey, we'll take that
too. Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll put in a good word.
Let us know. Just hit me up at cinemacrespedisto@gmail.com. Put a free Universal stuff in the subject line. And the Drewster and I really appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, number three this week, we have The Great Gatsby, which had a weekend gross of $23.4 million, total gross of $90.15 on a budget of $105.
Not bad for The Gatsby.
An okay movie.
Did you see it, Matt?
No.
Gatsby?
No.
What Gatsby?
It's okay.
I read the book.
Oh, yeah? Did you like the book?
Got one up on me.
I really, really did enjoy the book, actually.
Well, then you may
it's required reading.
Yeah,
you really didn't have a choice.
The reviews.
Oh, yeah, you did. I mean, we went to school together. Same required reading. I chose not to read it.
In the end, you do have a choice. It's required.
I chose not to.
Yeah, you do have a choice.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to pass, fail classes. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an okay movie. It's very flashy. It's very very colorful.
It's like a really long music video.
Yes. Why doesn't he just make a musical?
He should just give in.
Straight up make a musical.
Yeah, you know? and just do it.
Well, we talked about Gatsby last week when we saw it. It was, you can tell by our ambivalence that it is more of a DVD type of deal.
You can listen to last week's episode.
Yeah, just listen to last week's episode. Tell your friends to download that episode. Download it again. If you already downloaded last week's episode, download it again.
Exactly.
Download the movie. No, we do not condone.
We cannot condone piracy.
We do not condone piracy on
my bad.
It's cool. No, that's cool. No, that's right. You can if you want.
All right. At number two this week,
you can condone evil. That's cool.
Number two this week, Iron Man 3. Weekend gross, $35 million. Total gross, $337 on a budget of $200. I believe worldwide it just broke the billion-dollar mark.
Yeah, it made $698 million in international markets. So $1.03
billion. $1 billion.
Makes it the 15th movie ever to cross $1 billion.
That's crazy.
And I think, 13 of those movies or 12 of those movies came out 2008 and after.
Well, of course.
It's all been...
Adjusted for inflation?
No, not adjusted for inflation.
Not at all.
Okay.
And even when you adjust for inflation, there's nothing else that grosses $1 billion. That's a crazy amount of money.
Well,
Iron Man made it in about less than a month.
I mean, the market's much larger these days.
It is much larger, but there are also more options.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many different factors. We're not going to get into that argument. That's an argument for talk for another day. $200 million budget. When your movie makes $1 billion, a $200 million budget
is nothing.
It seems reasonable. Like, oh, that made sense. Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Yep.
Billion-dollar budgets.
Iron Man 3 is good. Yeah, billion-dollar budget. Dude.
Whoa.
Let's do it, dude.
That's a big movie.
It's James Cameron will crack the billion-dollar budget.
We can do the Truman Show in real life.
There you go.
That's $1 billion. Easy.
That would be... Actually, there is some guy, read this story like a few years ago, and it's probably still going on. This guy did a Schenectady, New York style. This is in like the Eastern Bloc somewhere between Russia and, you know, the Asia, somewhere around there, right?
Uh-huh.
Some guy, some rich dude, who knows where he gets his money from. Maybe it's possible. He has a huge warehouse where from the outside it looks like it's described as a giant cube. That just sticks out of the ground. When you get inside, there's one area where you walk in, and they scrub you of all modern stuff. They take away your watches, your phones, and give you clothes from like it's like the 20s or 30s, something like that, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you go through like these little transport areas to the next part of the giant room, and then when you go in there, there's like a whole town in there where all these, quote, actors have been paid to live in these towns and play out their roles 24/7. And there are cameras everywhere recording everything. And this guy has been orchestrating his, like, godlike control over this city. At this point, it was ready for a few years.
Wow.
And he said he had the end was in sight and he was going to finish it. But I bet you it's still going on.
By destroying the city? Is he going to destroy the city?
I have no idea what the end game was, but he has people... People are living in this city, but they're living as their characters, and it's all being filmed, and it's all takes place in a certain time period.
I wonder how much money these people are making.
It's like Colonial Williamsburg meets Big Brother, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
Very strange.
Can we go there? Theme park kind of style?
The guy that got in was a journalist. He had to jump through some hoops to get in there, but once he got in, it was like... He had to obey by the rules. They gave him a character. Actually, he said by after a week, he almost felt compelled to stay. They had like a psychological effect on him.
That's strange.
It was weird. It was weird. Oh, man, I wish I...
Let's go.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Why not?
If anybody from the Cube is listening...
I don't know. If you're outside of the Cube, they shouldn't be able to hear us in the Cube. Because it all takes place back in the day. So they take all that stuff away.
I wonder if they're drugged in there.
It's all old. They very well could be.
Maybe.
Man, hey, if it's all old-timey, that different laws, they could all be on laudanum for all we know.
Could be. That's possible. All right. Well, that was a crazy tangent.
Yes, it was. All right.
And I have no way to back any of that up. That's all true, by the way. It's all true. But I have no sources.
Yes.
No.
We're just names.
I had a dream about it, but I'm pretty sure my dreams are true.
We're just going to take your word for it, Chris. And at number one this week, we have Star Trek Into Darkness. It's had a weekend gross of $70.5 million. Total gross of $84 on a budget of $190. Wow, that movie cost a lot of money to make.
Yeah,
you could tell though
it did, but you know they're hoping to make $1 billion. Movies like that, when they make them now, they're hoping to make $1 billion.
Yeah,
Iron Man cost. We were just talking about that. Cost that $200 million,
but it made $1 billion.
Doesn't seem like a lot of movie now. Well, a lot of money for that movie, but for Star Trek, I think it does. Star Trek, the first one, had a $75 million opening weekend. The first Star Trek that came out a few years ago, and it made $257 million here, $385 million total. Didn't even break $500 million worldwide.
Yeah, failure.
So we'll see what they do with this one, because it actually has an opening weekend that's a little lower than the first one. But we all saw this. We all saw this movie today.
Yes, we did.
Let's start with Matt. Matt, go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you thought. Are you a Star Trek fan, first of all? Are any of us Star Trek fans?
Not necessarily.
Not really? You wouldn't call yourself a Trekkie?
No, not at all.
I wouldn't call myself a Trekkie, but I'm a fan. You know, I grew up watching it.
The TV show, the movies. TV show. You watch all that stuff.
Original one, a little Deep Space Nine, a little Next Generation.
Word. Never really watched the show. I've only seen the second original Star Trek, Wrath of Khan, and then the reboot that came out, and then this one that came out. Those are the only Star Trek movies I've seen.
So you haven't seen the one with the whales?
Was that five?
I don't know.
Undiscovered.
It's the one with whales. It's so terrible.
How about you, Drew? Did you watch the TV show? Any of that
stuff? I mean, I've seen the TV show. I mean, I like science fiction, so, you know, I've caught the TV shows here and there. I'm pretty sure I've seen most of the movies on network television, so...
Work. All right, so Matt, go ahead and let's start with you. Give us a review. Your thoughts on Star Trek Into Darkness, and we'll try not to get into spoilers. I'll say right off the bat, there's a pretty big spoiler in the middle there.
Yeah.
I'll just say it pertains to the nature of the villain, and I'm going to stay away from that.
Yeah.
I think we should just stay away from that, because they went through great lengths to hide that in all the marketing.
Yeah, they did.
So I don't want to be a dick. I don't want to be those guys.
No, we're not going to be those guys. Spoilers.
But outside of that, go ahead. What did you think of it?
Well, Bob, for the first 10 minutes, I thought I might have downloaded the movie already and watched it.
Yeah, we were talking about that, how they show like the first 10 minutes of the movie, and we couldn't remember where we saw it.
I think it was before Prometheus. They showed the first 10 minutes. So the first 10 minutes of the movie I'm watching, I'm like, man,
I've already seen this.
I've seen this before.
Yeah.
How did that happen? So that was a little bit confusing at first, but then we figured that out. And, well, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's...
it looked really good. You could tell
how they spent the
$200 million.
Oh yeah.
There's been some advances in the technology.
Yeah, since the original. Pretty recently they had a Star Trek exhibit here over by iDrive where they had the deck of the Enterprise, like from the set. And everything was all, you could tell, was all cardboard with, like, lights poking through them. Just really, really cheap looking. Now it looks like an Apple store.
It did. Everything was all white and glistening.
Except for there's a new Enterprise, too.
Yeah, there is.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Very, very menacing.
Yeah.
They show a little bit of it.
It's a combat Enterprise.
They show a little bit of it in the trailer. But it's weird. They also use, because it's like the Enterprise, but bigger, but has the same silhouette, they've done some trickery with the trailers and commercials, make it seem like some things are happening that aren't actually, like, different. You know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Trickery. Marketing.
Yeah. Definitely.
Lies.
Yes.
Lies.
Not so much lies.
So what did you think of this? Did the story grab you? How much can you even remember of the story? We just saw it a few hours ago.
Well, I mean, I remember the storyline. We can't give away the spoiler.
Well, yeah, but outside of that, though, there's a bad guy. There's like a almost a terrorist like bad guy with bombings and stuff.
And then
they chase him, and then they go after him.
You got to use the evil to use your own personal gains. I don't want to give anything else away.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, you know, getting your hands dirty.
And sometimes people aren't who they think you think they are. You know,
that was very much like what Spock and
Uhura.
Uhura, yeah, their whole like
Spock
little relationship.
Was great. Spock was great.
He's always, that dude's always good. I think
loved Spock.
I think he was a good choice for young Spock, and
his hair looks really funny when he runs.
It does look funny when he runs.
Was I the only one who noticed that?
Yeah.
Those shots of him running with that hair, it was just kind of flopping around.
The way his bangs flop back. Yeah,
it looked really silly.
I agree with that.
It's not an action haircut.
I noticed that. That definitely was noticeable.
Yeah.
But he does a lot of action-y things, though, in this movie.
Oh, Spock is a lot more action-y this time around.
He does a lot of mindy things, too.
He does. A little bit of mind-meldy sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Nice to see. There are a lot of, not even being a Star Trek fan, I noticed there are a lot of things in this movie that are like callbacks to other other Star Trek elements, characters that weren't in the first movie that like they're bringing back around.
Yep.
You know, they're gradually introducing all these things. It's pretty...
And a couple of references to TV as well.
Yeah. It's all
one giant universe.
One big hodgepodge of sci-fi entertainment. You know,
I think the fans will be happy.
I can dig it. So you liked it then overall?
Oh yeah, I enjoyed it.
Drew, what did you think of it?
I agree. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was it was a summer sci-fi action blockbuster.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I was looking forward to.
Put that on the poster.
I mean...
It was a summer sci-fi action.
I can always...
Actually, yeah, that is a factually correct statement. It's a summer sci-fi action blockbuster.
Yes.
Yeah. That doesn't say whether it's good or bad or anything. It's just...
No. But it was... I mean... It was...
It's definitely summer, May. Summer movie season starts in May.
It exceeded my expectations. I didn't expect it to do anything. I didn't expect there to be, you know... any sort of plot or anything. I thought it was just going to be, you know, sci-fi action.
Because
the last one was kind of lacking a little bit of plot.
Yeah, the last one was just the red matter and people running around trying to get the MacGuffin of the movie. And having fun with catchphrases.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't think she can take any more, you know, something like that.
Well, I didn't look at my watch during the whole movie, so that's a good first sign. That's how I know I like it.
That is a plus. that is genuinely, if I don't think about the time at all, or I don't notice that my butt's hurting, or like, oh man, I gotta go to the bathroom, you know, if I don't think about any of that stuff, then obviously, the movie's working.
Yeah.
I'm just not the biggest Star Trek fan for whatever reason. This movie was okay. I wish I had more of a connection to the characters, because I can see how some of it's cool shout outs to the fans and to the history and the iconography of the series, but I could live without this, like, give or take this movie. It really doesn't bother me, but I don't know.
Well, ambivalent.
Very ambivalent.
Right.
Towards it. It is what it is. I'm not that big on J.J. Abrams as I'm not that big on him as a filmmaker overall.
Huh.
You know, I think his style is very much informed by his television days.
Yeah.
A lot of close-up stuff, kind of lacking that real cinematic feel, you know. Like Mission Impossible 3 is a little disappointing, and
yeah,
wasn't too big on the Star Trek reboot. I think this is better than the last Star Trek movie.
Definitely.
And I'm interested to see what he does with the Star Wars. This guy's double dipping with the stars. What's that all about? Not cool.
Yeah, no. I mean, we'll see.
What's next? A Stargate movie?
I mean, if he does, that would be the next logical step.
I'll see you.
Triple dipping in the stars. That's a lot. A lot of star dipping, man.
I'll see you, J.J. Abrams. A J.J. Abrams Stargate movie.
Would you?
I would. For sure. Yeah, okay. So on the rated scale for Star Trek Into Darkness, I would say for me it's a red box movie. Maybe you see it on an airplane. Because we keep forgetting.
That's how I saw the first one.
That's how you saw the first one, did you? Would you see this, Matt, or would you recommend people see it in a theater or DVD red box on an airplane, wait for HBO?
I mean, compared to what's out there right now, I would say see it in the theater. You know, if I had to choose.
Right on. Drew?
I would agree. I would say see it in the theater. Well, I would say see it on the biggest screen you care to.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's sci-fi, it's action, there's lots of
space stuff works.
Space battles and
space battles.
We didn't do the 3D.
Things exploding.
We did not do the 3D.
I don't recommend doing 3D for any of these types of movies. I mean, unless it's specifically shot in 3D, I'm kind of like you. I don't really like the post-converted stuff.
Yeah, that stuff is lame.
It seems forced and not really, you know, into it.
That stuff even is lame-o, lame-o.
Even in the 2D, you can see it's a little forced.
Yeah.
Some shots.
Yeah,
you can tell. Oh, this should be in 3D.
Yeah, when you're watching the movie, you can tell, they did this only because they expect some people to see it in 3D.
Yep. Right.
Now they got 3D Blu-rays, too. They're expecting more people to watch that at home, but I don't see it.
The 2D screening was packed. I mean, I wonder how
it
many were in the 3D.
And it was a matinee, too.
Yeah.
I
wonder what the split is.
$70 million.
That's a lot of money.
The split's probably somewhere between 40% to 60%
towards.
We can look it up. You know what? We'll look that up.
Look that up during the break.
We'll look it up during the break, and we'll report back in the Crespo Dome what the split was on the Star Trek Into Darkness 3D, because we can find that out. New movies coming out, Drew.
New movies coming out.
Actually, hold on a second. You got what's in theaters.
Well, yes.
Let me talk about what's on DVD first, because there's a lot of movies coming out on DVD. The Last Stand, the new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie that came out in January.
Oh, yes, the one that we saw.
That's the one
that I saw half of.
That one that you saw half
yes,
of?
Yes, saw half of it.
That's worth seeing on DVD for sure. That's definitely worth redboxing people.
I would say Netflix streaming.
Or Netflix streaming. Yeah, if they definitely. If they have it on Netflix streaming, yeah, for sure. Stand Up Guys, the one with Alan Arkin, Christopher Walken,
Never
Al Pacino.
Saw that. Old Gangsters.
That's coming out. This one's for the ladies. The ladies of
the
cinema.
Ladies.
Crestbody, so.
Is Ryan Gosling in it?
No. Beautiful Creatures. It has another guy. Adrian Alden Reich. He's like a new young. He's almost. Actually, he kind of looks like Leo DiCaprio 2.0. It's kind of weird. Looking.
Interesting.
That's one about, I think it's a vamp. No, witches.
Witches.
I think that's about witches.
Okay.
That's supposed to be the next big thing.
Sweet.
And Parker. Parker comes out, the Jason Statham movie with Jennifer Lopez. It takes place in West Palm Beach.
Never saw that.
And Side Effects, the Steven Soderbergh
that
movie.
That was fun.
With,
that was a good one.
Rudy Mara, Channing Tatum, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Very good movie.
Yes.
So you got some options for new movies on DVD this week. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
All right. In theaters for May 24th, we have The Fast and Furious 6.
Wow.
The 6th.
Another one.
Yes. Another one. This one's getting pretty good reviews.
Yeah, it's got the whole cast. They're all back.
The reviews are...
How old is Vin Diesel these days?
Old.
Like 68, 69 years old, something
at
like
least.
That. He's an old guy. He's been collecting Social Security for a little while. One of the things I've heard about this movie is that it's so over the top and so just ridiculous that it's like a spoof of itself. It's a satire... It's become a spoof of its own of the whole series.
It's become self-aware.
It has.
That sounds fun.
It's become self-aware. Skynet's become self-aware. It's going to take over. And it's actually supposed to be, very fun, very, very crazy movie, good times. And then they're right now getting ready to shoot 7 to come out next year. And then they say they're going to be done with Fast and the Furious.
I call BS.
But, yeah, we'll see. Because this thing's going to make a ton of money, and so is the next one. So.
Oh, yeah.
And what else is coming out next weekend?
Also next weekend, we have The Hangover Part 3.
Wild stuff. That's highest grossing R-rated comedy of all time. It's going to be the highest rated comedy trilogy of all time. I'm looking forward to Hangover 3.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I like Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be a fitting end to the funny...
I hope so, to the trilogy. And Galifianakis looks particularly unhinged.
Yeah, he does. Well, apparently he's off his meds.
His character's off his meds, so it looks like it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's one other movie coming out.
Epic.
That animated movie about the tiny people that live in the leaves and the trees, and they are in some sort of nature war.
Yeah, yeah.
Fern Gully style?
Yeah. It looks like a leftist, you know, green propaganda, ooh, save the earth type of BS bullshit. I say lies. Carbon, which is the bad one?
Dioxide.
Carbon dioxide all the way, baby.
Well, hey, then you should be happy to know that we just passed a landmark in carbon dioxide. There is now
4,000 parts per
million. Exactly. Yes. Thank you, Matt.
Yep. Awesome.
4,000 parts per million. Humanity has never lived on the Earth with this much carbon dioxide in the air.
That makes me want to go outside and take a deep breath, guys.
Oh, yeah.
So let's take a break. Let's take a quick break. We're going to step into the Crespo Disco. Got a song lined up here from a movie. I'll tell you guys right now, it's a movie from the 90s. One of my favorite movies from the 90s.
Awesome.
Let's see if anyone can get what this movie is. I'll let you know when we get back. Plus, we'll look into that whole 3D Star Trek thing. So we'll be back soon with the Crespo Dome. It's me, Madrusa Cogburn, and guest Maddie J. Right, guys?
Yeah. Woo! We're here.
All right, we'll be right back.
Soy un hombre muy honrado que me gusta lo mejor. A mujeres no me falta ni el dinero ni el amor. Jineteando en mi caballo por la sierra yo me voy. Las estrellas y la luna ellas me dicen dónde voy. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón. Me gusta tocar guitarra, me gusta cantar el son. Mariachi me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor. También el tequila blanco con su sal le da sabor. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón. Me gusta tocar guitarra, me gusta cantar el sol. El mariachi me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor. También el tequila blanco con su sal le da sabor. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón.
Do it. What? Cinema. Crespo. Deeso. Cinema. Crespo. Deeso. Thank you very much. Welcome back to episode 19 of Cinema Crespo Deeso. It is me, Christopher Crespo, still here, still hosting, still with Drewster Cogburn, Drew.
How's it going?
And our guest, Maddie J.
Ahoy.
How's it going, guys?
We're still here, too.
Took a quick, really quick intermission there.
Yeah, yeah, it was only a couple seconds.
Super short, jump right back into this. You guys heard that song in the Crespo Disco, right?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think it's from?
Desperado soundtrack.
Desperado soundtrack, yeah. Both concur. That is from the Desperado soundtrack. Name of that song is Canción del Mariachi. Then parentheses, Moreno de mi Corazón.
And that's the most Spanish I've ever heard you say.
By Los Lobos y Antonio Banderas.
And there we go, even more.
So yeah, it's from the Desperado soundtrack. Love that movie. Good soundtrack.
Good stuff.
A lot of Los Lobos on there.
Yeah.
And that was Antonio Banderas singing on that song, which is a lot of fun. Good times. 3D question about Star Trek. Matt
yes.
asked.
All right.
You wanted to know what percentage of their gross, of their $70 million gross, was in 3D. Drew, we found that. What'd you find?
Yes, the answer is 45%.
45%.
Not Sounds too a little low.
It's a little low. They're, the idea a few years ago for a good 3D ratio would be like 60% for a big movie like that. Right. But lately, people have been rejecting the 3D, so 45%, not too hot.
Not yeah, the post-production 3D, I don't think is really worth it. And
people are smartened up against that.
Yeah, right. I don't like it. I'm not a fan
of it. The novelty
either.
Is worn off
it has.
A little bit for me.
It has. Well, we didn't see it in 3D.
Yeah, no, screw that.
Yeah, but you know what is in 3D?
What?
The Crespo Dome.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
So are you guys ready for the Crespo Dome?
Yeah,
3D
dude.
HD
in
I'm
cinema.
Ready.
In 3D. Real quick, I didn't record a commercial, so I just want to say...
Okay.
ChrisCrespo.com, go there, right?
Yes.
ChrisCrespo.com, go there.
ChrisCrespo.com.
A lot of cool stuff there.
Been there, done that.
On iTunes, rate us and review us.
Yes, 5 stars,
five
please.
5-star rating, please leave us a nice review. That's going to help us a lot on iTunes. On Twitter, the show is at CrespoDiso.
Yes.
I am Chris Crespo.
Are you Chris Crespo?
Yes. My Twitter handle is at I am Chris Crespo. Like P. Diddy, he is I am Diddy. You know, that's a big thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I am Chris Crespo. I'm important enough.
You are that important.
I am. Will I am.
I am. Will I am. But no, I'm not. I am Chris Crespo. Don't confuse me like that. Matt, you're on Twitter, aren't you?
Nope.
Yeah, you are.
I'm on Twitter.
He just doesn't know it.
Another guy that doesn't use it.
I'm on there.
Drew's been using his Twitter a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
At antihero419.
Correct.
Follow him. Tweet him. He'll tweet you back.
Maybe.
And also, I am now asking people to go to chriscrespo.com and sign up to the mailing list. There's a mailing list right there. Put your email in there.
Mailing list.
There's going to be a mailing list. I'm going to start doing newsletters down the road.
All
if
right.
you want to be the Ooh. First to know about Crespo Diso events and giveaways and cool
swag.
Stuff like that, and you have swag for the people, you want to get on that mailing list because those are going to be the ones that get first crack at it. All right, so got all that out of the way. All that icky business stuff. Let's get into the Crespo Dome. With we're gonna start talking about Jack Reacher.
Oh, very nice.
Because we watched Jack Reacher this weekend
on DVD.
It was Drew first time you saw it.
Yes, sir.
I was rewatching it. Matt, have you seen it?
Nope.
You know which one this is?
Nope. Tell me about it.
Tom Cruise plays a guy named Jack Reacher. He's an ex-army investigator, like. Military police type deal.
Okay.
But he chooses to like live off grid. Like he's impossible to find, you know. But some guy gets there's like a sniper shooting like in public shooting, and some guy gets set up and he calls Jack Reacher in to help him, and Jack Reacher starts doing all this like research and digging in and finds out it's going really deep to conspiracy, and Werner Herzog plays the bad guy.
So awesome. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
He's only in like 4 scenes, but
to
it's
the heart
awesome.
Of the Scientology.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not very easy. Not very easy. Is it? I really didn't think about it in terms of Scientology. Drew, so give it a little review. What did you think of Jack Reacher?
I enjoyed it. It was a it was a Tom Cruise action movie mixed with some, you know, like investigative thriller elements in there. So
yeah,
I thought it could have been shorter. Definitely, it was
two hours and 10 minutes.
It seemed a bit long.
The first time I saw it, I didn't feel like it was a long movie the first time I saw it, but I was shocked when I noticed it was 2 hours and 10 minutes long. I thought it went by. First time I saw it, I thought it went by pretty quickly. I love the action in it.
Action's fun. Tom Cruise does all his own stunts. They really drive that home too when they have the close ups of him driving the car in the chase scene.
Yeah, all throughout the car chase scene, Matt, they keep finding ways to get the camera as close to the window as possible so you can see Tom Cruise in there. And it really is some, like, I don't want to say sloppy stunt car driving, but you can tell it's not perfect. You know, he's slamming the car into walls and other cars and stuff, but it's interesting, though.
That just goes to the authenticity that it's actually Tom Cruise driving.
Yeah,
he's not that good.
He's better than the average person, I'd say.
Well, yeah, definitely, but still, right. When it comes to stunt driving standards.
Well, he's not a stunt
driver. Does he have to sit on a phone book when he drives?
Maybe.
Hi-yo!
He might have to.
Hoo-ah!
Or maybe he's driving a tiny little
Tom
coupe.
Cruise! Maybe.
Singer.
Who knows what he's doing. So you saw on DVD. Would you say it's a DVD-type movie, or do you rather have seen it in a theater?
I was happy seeing it on DVD.
You were fine skipping theaters?
The action scenes were cool, but they weren't. They didn't necessarily warrant the giant screen.
Right.
You know, the big screen TV I have it in the living room is
right on.
It sufficed.
Understandable. All right. Well, I want to move on here to got some crossover in the world of movies and TV shows.
Uh huh.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about this. First off, they're working on a pilot for Beverly Hills Cop.
No. The TV show.
They've been turning that into a TV show. They've been working on that for a little while.
And who's going to play Eddie Murphy's character?
Eddie Murphy. Because it's not, his character's not the main character.
Oh, okay.
Axel Foley he's now captain of the whatever.
Yeah.
And I think he's might even be in Detroit. He's captain in the Detroit Police Department. And it's about his son.
Okay.
And his son has to do stuff in Beverly Hills or whatever. His son was cast, and they chose Brandon T. Jackson, who was the dude from Tropic Thunder, the guy with the cans of booty sweat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Who I actually thought when they announced, I was like, actually, you know, I think that's pretty good casting. I think that dude would be a good, like, son of Foley. And then Eddie Murphy was going to do, like, little cameos. Like, he was going to have a small scene in the pilot, and he would have popped up here and there throughout the show. So they shot the pilot. A lot of hoopla around it, and CBS was optioned to CBS. Like, they had first dibs on it, and they announced that they're not going to pick it up.
Oh, interesting.
So they
killed it?
Yeah, we'll never get to see Beverly Hills Cop pilot.
Why would they pick it up and then kill it?
I don't know.
Because they like doing that.
Because, yeah, they like commissioning things and saying, nope.
Because, I mean, technically, I guess they still own the rights, so maybe if they want to do another
pilot. The
Crespo
Dome should pick it up.
Oh, yeah. We'll start a Kickstarter.
Exactly.
Let's do it. We'll start a Kickstarter. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if they can shop the pilot around now to other people to see if someone else is interested. I have no idea how that's going
to
work.
I would like to see that.
Or they can bury it.
There's a lot of garbage on TV.
Plenty of garbage on TV.
I mean, come on, guys.
That's going to be part of my overall point here in a minute.
Okay.
Zombieland. They were working on a Zombieland TV show, and they shot a pilot for that. Now, Zombieland was originally supposed to be a TV show. No one wanted to pick it up, so they turned it into a movie. Movie became a big hit.
Yep.
Now, all of a sudden, now they can go back to try to make it into a TV show. Amazon is getting into the streaming, into the original content business, like Netflix style.
I've got the Prime membership.
So what they're doing is what they did last month, they had 16 pilots made. One of them was Zombieland. They put them all on their website. I had no idea about this until it was all over. They put them all on their website, and people could watch the shows and vote on them. And then based on how the shows performed, how many times they were downloaded, reviews, ratings, social media impact, Amazon was going to pick up and continue with shows, not other shows. So apparently Zombieland didn't do too good.
Oh, nice.
Because it did not get picked up.
All right.
Yeah, that, you know what? That sounds like how Netflix came up with House of Cards. They looked at, you know, all the data they have, and they said, well, users like to watch streaming content all at once.
They like
with Kevin Spacey.
They like Kevin Spacey. They like television. They like political stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So then they you know, kind of pinpointed that market and made, I think, a great series.
Algorithms.
Yeah. Yep. They just took
democratic.
Yeah.
Is it democratic? Or is it chasing the bottom dollar?
Or is it just ripping off British television?
Was it just because it's just
it was a remake.
So Zombieland TV show not happening unless someone else decides to pick it up. And thirdly, a show that I have been watching, probably the first network show that I've bothered to watch at all lately, Hannibal.
Ooh, it's good. I'm enjoying it.
Good show. Mads Mikkelsen as Hannibal Lecter, Hugh Dancy as Will Graham. The show is essentially a prequel to Manhunter / Red Dragon. Apparently, despite a great debut, great opening numbers have slid. And now, I think it's NBC, they're on the fence. It's a bubble show. They don't know whether they're going to bring it back or not in the fall. So,
we'll find out
here in a week or two whether Hannibal will even be back on TV.
Oh, well.
They just canceled a lot of TV shows.
They canceled
didn't
a they? Ton of shows.
20, 30 shows.
A lot of very popular shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. My point is that I've been hearing a lot lately how it's the golden age of television because of Breaking Bad and Mad Men and stuff on HBO.
The new Mad Men was amazing.
Saying all because of those shows, Game of Thrones, this is the golden age of television.
Yeah. Right?
And I'm calling bullshit.
Well, it's
on
the
that.
Golden age of premium television.
I'm still calling bullshit because of all the good shows that are out there, there's what, maybe five or six?
Yeah. Tops.
How many shows are there on TV?
Oh, good Lord.
How many did they make over time? I mean,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I think once
it's
we're able
the
to.
The ratio's ridiculous.
Once we can order channels by themselves. And then we can cut out all the garbage. Yeah. And then they're going to be forced to make better television.
A la carte. Well, that's the whole cut the cable idea.
That's what I'm thinking.
To, you can pick and choose what you want to watch, but then that can get expensive too, a la carte, on how it all adds up together.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, shit.
Whoa,
guys.
Oh,
this?
Man. What happened?
Is this the dome?
Oh, shit.
Are we in the dome?
It's time. For some Juicy Cogman versus the world.
Oh, man.
It gets sprung out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. I'm ready. Let's do this.
All right.
Is the world ready, though? That's the question.
Well, whether the world's ready or not, I'm going to bring it.
Well, Matt, you represent the world.
I'm the world?
You are the world.
I'm the people.
Whenever we have a guest on,
uh-oh.
I know you're a very good friend of ours, and you've even helped in the birth of the show with equipment and support. You've always been there for us, and I really appreciate it.
Wow.
But I also know that you really don't listen, and that's cool, too.
It's okay. No, nobody that we actually know listens.
Except for
I listen.
I love you, man.
I listened to episode 4.
So, episode 4. That was a good one. But things have changed since episode 4. Now when we have a guest on, the guest has to take on Drew and Drewster Cogburn versus the world. It's a different game every week. Drew's taking on 4 different guests. So far, he's 2-2. He's 500.
Okay.
So it's up to you right now to see if this guy goes back to a winning record.
Or down to a losing one.
Or to a losing one for the first time.
Ooh.
For the first time. So
what's the game?
The game, this week's game, is a brand new game every week. I have one just for you guys.
All right.
This game is called Showcase Showdown, and it's
I love Price is Right.
It's Price is Right. Price is Right style, Price is Right rules. There's
close
Showcase
the
A,
going over.
Showcase A and Showcase B. I'm going to... Matt, you're going to go first because you are... winners. No, because winner's out. Winner takes out.
Yeah, yeah. So, and the world won last
and
time.
And the world won last time. So you get to go first this time. I'm going to give you 4 movies in Group A. I'm just going to tell you what the movies are.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, you may... Actually, no, you're going to have to do this on your head. Because they have to do it on their head.
Okay.
Their head. I'm going to give you 4 movies. And then you're going to have to guess how much they all grossed...
Total
in the U.S.
Only domestic.
Only domestic.
Okay.
But don't give me an answer right away. I'm going to give you the 4 movies, and Price is Right style, you're going to have a choice. You can guess, or you can pass it to Drew.
Okay.
And then Drew has to guess, and then you'll get the Group B movies.
Okay.
All right, and like Drew pointed out, closest to the pin without going over.
Okay.
Okay. So Showcase Showdown, here we go. Group A. Pay attention, Matt. 4 movies. Here we go. First movie is Tron Legacy. Your second movie is Titanic.
Oh, man.
Okay. Your third film is Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
All right. And your fourth film is Twister. Tron Legacy, Titanic, Spider-Man 2, Twister. How much did those 4 films make combined? Do you want to bid on these 4 films? Do you want to figure out how much you made, or do you want to pass that along to Drew and take Group B?
I'm gonna pass.
He's gonna pass. So Drew, the 4 movies again. I'm gonna go over them one more time: Tron Legacy, Titanic, Spider-Man 2, and Twister. Please give me your answer. How much do you think these 4 films made combined? U.S. domestic only.
$950 million.
All right, $950 million. Matt, you pass on Group A. So here you go with your Group B films. You ready?
Yep.
I'm gonna give you 4 movies again. Your first film is Showgirls.
Okay.
Second is Kung Fu Panda.
All right.
Your third is The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
And fourth, The Hunger Games. So your 4 movies are Showgirls, Kung Fu Panda, The Dark Knight Rises, and The Hunger Games. How much do you think these 4 movies made total?
$1.4
billion. $1.4
billion?
Okay. Drew, you said your four movies, Tron Legacy, Titanic, Spider-Man 2, and Twister, made $950 million total. The correct answer is $1.444 billion. So you're off by almost half $1 billion there.
But he didn't go over. I think I won.
Awesome.
Matt, your four movies are Showgirls, Kung Fu Panda, The Dark Knight Rises, and The Hunger Games. You guessed $1.4 billion. The true total of these four films is $1.091 billion. Matt goes over. Drew wins. Drew, you're 3-2. Drew Chicago versus the world. Congratulations, sir. Congratulations.
See, I was trying to play conservative. I didn't know I was playing that conservative.
You did play quite conservatively, and Matt overshot it a little bit. So there you go. That was this week's Drewster Cogburn versus the world. Outside of a tiebreaker setup.
Good game.
Gamesmanship right there. Good job.
I was closer.
Well, you were closer, but you went over. Unfortunately.
Yeah, just a little closer. Just a little closer. My tiebreaker.
Where's the Vanna White? That's what I'm missing.
I'm the Vanna White. I do it all. The tiebreaker
really
for
ugly
this
Vanna
week
White
was going to be, how much did Twister make without going over? How much do you think Twister made back in the 90s? Matt.
$180
million. Drew?
$160
million. It made $241 million.
Wow.
All right.
A ton of money. That was a tiebreaker, which we didn't even need. All right. Back into the Crestwood Dome where we were. We were talking about TV shows. It ain't the golden age of television.
No.
Calling bullshit on that. Just because of the ratios, you know. Sure, there are some good shows out there.
Definitely.
But TV overall still stinks.
Garbage.
Okay, well, I got a few questions through, you know, various social medias, media. I got this one question from Ricky in L.A. This came via Gmail. You can email the show at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Ricky in L.A. wanted us to do a Crespodome battle between, we usually do it between actors. You know, we've done like Brad Pitt versus George Clooney, and we discuss whether which one's the better actor, and then which one won in an actual fight.
Exactly.
This week, in the Crespo Dome battle, Ricky wants us to do Jaws versus Anaconda.
Okay.
So I'm thinking he's actually talking about Jaws, the shark in Jaws, Bruce the shark versus the Anaconda, which was mostly CG. Every now and then was like a really poor looking
prosthetic.
So which one is the better actor?
Jaws.
I would say Jaws.
Yeah. I mean, even if we're just talking about like supporting cast, the supporting cast is infinitely superior.
Well, we're
Jaws.
We're talking about the actual shark. The shark versus the snake. Which one of those two is the better actor?
Jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Jaws, I mean, he's a very suspenseful actor.
And
wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he's always, you don't know what he's going to do next.
Nope.
Whether he's going to come out of the water
he's
or not
hiding
come out of the water.
Behind a corner.
He's got a big
You don't know how many buoys
mouth
he's going to take underneath?
It looks looks real.
Yeah.
As opposed to the CG snake and Anaconda.
Fake. Which he's got a ride. It all looks fake.
Yeah. Or did have a ride.
He got his head blown up at the end.
Yes, he did.
I can't remember how the Anaconda died.
I think it got burned in a fire.
Oh, boring. Jaws is a better actor. Bruce the Shark. Which one will win in the battle?
Jaws.
And you think so?
Yeah, he just has to bite the snake in half.
But
the snake can't eat Jaws.
It all depends on where the battle is.
Where is the battle?
Oh, on land, the anaconda might win.
On land, the anaconda wins hand down.
Yeah.
But in the water.
Well, in fresh water, even, the anaconda wins hands down.
What about brackish?
If they were in the river, like where the anaconda lives,
yeah,
that shark has no chance.
What about on a plane?
How would an anaconda on a plane?
On a plane, the snake wins too.
Snake wins. How would an anaconda kill a white great white?
Same way it kills strangle anything else. Just wrap around it and suffocate it.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
but could it do that in the? I guess it's still underwater. It could.
Well, like I said, but if it was in the ocean, even if the snake wrapped around, it's
what,
still go down.
What's the snake doing in the ocean?
I don't know. What's a shark doing on land?
Oh, it's a land shark.
Like the beer.
Land shark.
Uh-huh.
Like the beer.
Terrible beer, by the way.
All right, so there you go. Jaws versus Anaconda in the Crespo Dome. Yeah, I guess Jaws wins.
Jaws wins.
We're going to put it in the ocean. Jaws wins. Okay. This question came from Facebook, and I think you guys actually, I think you know this fellow. David Hernandez. David Fernandez.
Oh, friend of both me and Mr. Johnston.
Ah, yes.
His question was, not even so much a question, I guess, as a request. I want to hear about boats and hoes. He wants to hear about boats and hoes. Matt, you have a boat.
I do. It's a sailboat.
You have a sailboat.
Yeah.
You ever get any hose
out there on the boat?
Occasionally. I do some ravaging on the high seas, raping, a little plundering.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Some piracy going on.
Straight up piracy.
No, I would never resort to piracy.
You don't download music out there.
I do not condone piracy of any kind. Just raping and pillaging.
Yeah, Viking style.
Yeah. That's all good.
Yeah. Especially on the high seas.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's legal out there.
Yeah.
You just, you know.
International waters.
You go a few miles out, everything's game.
You can do anything out there. You can have elephants fight monkeys in knife fights.
Yes.
Yeah, beast on beast action.
I would like to see that.
I'm sure you would.
You need to get a boat big enough to where we can do that.
All right, I'll work on it. Maybe pirate one. Yeah. I mean, I would never do that.
Conversation really didn't have much to do about movies.
No. Nope. We could film it.
We can film it.
Make our own movie.
We'll take
and
Mr.
call it
Fernandez.
Boats and Hoes.
We'll
take it to Cuba.
We'll get Jay-Z to produce it.
We'll get some Cuban Beast on Beast action directed by Jay-Z.
Okay, that sounded really weird.
Well, it's
the way you just said
it's
that.
Elephants versus monkeys in Cuba. Cuban Beast on Beast action. Why are you producing like that?
As long as we can get Havana Club to sponsor, I'm in.
Sweet.
Easy enough. All you got to do is ask.
Yeah. And done.
That's all you got to do. And let me see. We got one more question here from, of course, Billy D.
Oh, I was just about to ask if Billy had his 19th question.
Question number 19 for episode number 19. We appreciate it, Billy, very much. Billy D writes, did Drew say that Assassin's Creed might make a good movie? Now I guess we might actually see in 2015, starring Michael Fassbender. My question, I guess that first one was a question. So the second question.
I'm not sure to answer the first question. I'm not sure if I said that, but I do believe that.
He was thinking it.
I do believe that.
He was thinking it. He believes it. My question, Drew, I've known you a long time.
Uh-huh.
Are you a wizard, Billy D?
I may or may not be. I can't really answer that.
Drew, you're part wizard's butt.
What do you mean you can't answer? I don't know if he's a wizard, but I know he appreciates the wizard's beard.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of wizard's beard.
He eats wizard salad all the time.
All the time.
Gets headbutt by the wizard.
Pow! Right to the face. I'm not.
So are you? Or what do you mean you can't answer?
I guess sometimes I perform magic. I'm not sure if that necessarily makes me a wizard.
Why is Billy asking you? What's going on?
I have no idea.
Matt, do you think Drew's a wizard?
You've known me a long time too, Matt. Do you think I'm a wizard?
Or do you think he's a charlatan?
That's a very difficult question. Drew is a man of many things. And he, at times, has been quite wizardly. However, is he a wizard? No. Drew's no wizard.
No wizard.
Yeah. He's a mortal. He's a mere mortal.
He's a mere mortal.
Yes.
Practicing doctor.
You know what? He's a wizard in the kitchen.
He is a kitchen wizard.
Yes.
He is.
Can be.
Kitchen. As is Billy D.
Both kitchen wizards. Both both unlicensed practicing doctors.
Yes. Very unlicensed.
Very practicing. all right. So there you go. Those are our questions. Two of them not really movie related. But thank you very much, guys. We really appreciate the questions. If you have a question
always
for the show,
do.
You can send it to me on Twitter, Facebook, email. Again, that's cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Matt, we're wrapping up the show, buddy. Appreciate you coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, dude.
Before we send you out, we got to do two more things.
Oh, man.
Two more things. First off, it's time for the lightning round.
Yes. Woo. This part's fun.
Is this new?
Kind of. Well, it's new to you.
New to you. We've been doing this for
a while.
7-8 episodes. For a couple months now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm feeling guilty.
It's okay. You don't have to feel guilty.
It's part of the reason why we're having you back on, though, because you didn't get to do this stuff first time around.
Okay.
You know, we're revisiting, trying to get Johnny the Hater back in the studio.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Where is Johnny the Hater?
Johnny the Hater is in South Florida. He's hating in SoFla. I'm trying to get him to drive up.
Yeah, I would. Johnny the Hater, if you're listening,
he's not listening.
He doesn't listen.
He's not listening. Oh. And if he is listening, I'd be very surprised.
Okay, Matty J, time for the lightning round. You ready, buddy?
Let's do it.
If it wasn't for the stat tracker, I believe that no one was listening. But
yeah,
stats,
I would agree.
The stats tell me otherwise. I've seen the stats.
Yeah, that's good.
So I got 10 questions here.
10?
10 questions, but it's round.
It's a lightning round. Answer them quick. The first thing that comes to your mind.
First thing that comes to your mind. Okay. Try not to think about it too much, all right?
Okay.
And it's just, you know, easy breezy. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one. What is your favorite Starbucks beverage?
Grande iced Americano.
Number two. Somethingness or nothingness?
Nothingness.
Number three. Where is your favorite place to get something to eat?
Wow. That's... I don't know, man. That's tough. My kitchen.
Okay.
The fridge. Yeah.
Would you rather own a tiger or a polar bear?
Tiger.
All right. Number five. True or false, nearly 10% of Canadians have had sex in a canoe.
True.
All right. Number six. Does time flow backward?
False.
Oh, yeah. You actually gave me a true false on that one. Number seven. What's your least favorite kind of ice cream?
You know what, man? This might be blasphemous, but I really just don't like chocolate.
Oh, wow.
It's okay.
I just don't like chocolate ice cream.
You a big old quart of chocolate ice cream in the freezer. Oh, man. I guess I like everything else but chocolate. No dessert for you, then.
Yeah, sorry.
Number eight. Did we land on the moon?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Number nine. Grand Piano or Grand Rapids?
Grand Piano.
And number 10, think of a color. You got it? No, just don't say it. Think of a color.
Uh-huh.
You got it?
Yep.
It's red.
Yep.
Am I right? Yeah!
Good job, Chris.
I wrote it down. See, I'm right there. It's red.
Oh, my God.
Yeah! Crespo Domus has spoken. That was the lightning.
Oh, man. When's the apocalypse?
That's next week. I'll tell you next week. Real quick, true or false, nearly 10% of Canadians have had sex in a canoe. True. True. So you got that one right.
Nice.
And number six, does time flow backward? You said false. That's true. There's empirical quantum physics evidence that shows that measurements that have been performed in the future have effect on the measurements that happened in the past. I'll show you the article. It's a little mind-blowing.
I would love to read it.
It's pretty wild stuff, dude.
All right,
well,
let's do it.
They've been working on this for several decades now. Right. So that was the lightning round. Thanks a lot, man. I think we learned a little bit about you.
Thanks, buddy.
It's time for you to get your swag bag because all guests that come on the show.
Oh, shit, yeah, dude.
You only YOLO once?
You only YOLO once, but Yoda twice.
All right.
That made no sense.
So what's in the swag bag?
You got three bags. Go ahead and pick one sight unseen. You can't look inside it. Just pick a bag and then pass it over to me.
Taking the purple one.
He's taking the purple bag.
There's only one purple one.
So,
there can only be one.
We're gonna break this down. We'll let the people know what you got. First off, you got on DVD a triple feature.
Woo!
Puppet Master, Puppet Master 2, and Puppet Master 3 all on DVD.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
There
you go. You got that there.
The Midnight Horror Collection.
Ooh, you get the Creative Kids brand crystal growing kit.
I love those things.
You can grow your own little Fortress of Solitude there.
Hey.
Exciting. Oh boy, someone's got the candy bag. Here you go.
Oh,
got a bag of Red Hots.
I hear you can put those in vodka and it's delicious.
There you go.
And also a box of Good and Plenty.
There's plenty of them. Oh wow. I'll eat those at the movies.
Also got you a keychain. A New York keychain.
Nice.
Oh wow.
From New York.
Wow.
And last but not least, Cinema Crespediso sticker.
Ooh.
Get your own sticker. So there you go, sir.
Thanks, guys.
That's your Crespediso swag bag. Thank you very much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Swag bag or not, I would always come back.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome.
Been great.
We'll be back again soon, I'm sure. Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to tell the people about? Where are you going to be this weekend?
Where's your next DJ?
Where's your next DJing gig?
Well, next weekend I'll be in St. Pete.
Nice.
Word.
Sailing.
Night. Raping and pillaging.
Raping and pillaging.
So look,
all right, watch out, St. Petersburg.
Watch out, St. Pete. Keep an eye out for Matty J. Raping and pillaging in your neck of the woods.
I'm going to hoist my pirate flag and set sail.
Awesome.
Weigh anchor.
Awesome.
All that good stuff.
Weigh anchor.
Yeah.
How much is the weigh? I don't know. I forgot.
I don't know.
Drew, got anything to plug?
Yeah, not really.
At Antihero 419.
Yeah, just about anywhere, whether it be Xbox Live or Twitter or Instagram.
Yeah, you want to play this guy on some Xbox video games. Antihero 419.
In 6 weeks, you can play me in some video
games.
Yeah,
he's so busy now. He's because, you know, Matt, he's been gone 80 hours a week. He's flying around the world doing these, like, the mission outreach things. Like, last week, he was... And speaking of Canada, last week he was in the Yukon helping indigenous Eskimo children. He was teaching them
how to canoe.
Very, very, very coincidental. But that's what he was doing up there. Yeah.
That's where you got the trivia, I see.
Yeah.
So he's a busy guy. Where are you going next week? You're going to South America, right?
Yes. Next, I'm going to South America, going to the Amazon Basin.
The Amazon Basin. Oh, that's going to be a crazy one.
Going on, I'm helping out a botanist looking for new medicine for cancer.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's going to be good stuff. But you got to watch out for the local tribes. They've never seen a white person before or a cell phone.
Yeah.
Make sure you take pictures of that stuff.
Oh, I totally will.
Steal their souls.
Uh-huh.
Remember, ChrisCrespo.com. Get at me on Twitter. I am Chris Crespo. Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Thanks a lot. Next week's episode 20.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's a big one. We got some plans for episode 20. So I hope you guys tune in for that.
I'm excited.
We're all excited. We're all very excited. So we'll be seeing you next week. We'll be seeing you soon. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Tell your family. Listen to Cinema Crespo so often. Thanks. Bye.
Can you imagine two sweet-ass dudes like us in that car traveling through the desert across America? We would look so fucking cool. We would go places and park the car where we know we look cool, hang out smoking cigarettes, leaning against the car, looking cool, and let people look at us. We could get fucking trashed on drugs in the middle of nowhere, and drive 150 miles an hour naked down the freeway and hang out the windows shooting shotguns at freeway signs and fucking historical landmarks and fucking jackrabbits. Dude, we could make some jackrabbit jerky and jackrabbit shoulder pads for our new leather jackets. Dude, you're Lord Humongous. Dude, you are fucking Lord Humongous. You are Lord fucking Humongous! The Master of Fire! The King of the Wasteland! Lord Humongous doesn't get cheated on by some stupid bitch. Lord Humongous doesn't say, was it good for you? He doesn't say, who called or where were you last night? He doesn't leave the fucking gang when he falls in love. Nobody fucking tells Lord Humongous what to do. Lord Humongous fights when he wants to fight and fucks when he wants to fuck. And when all else fails, he drives straight into the fucking tanker. The thing is that Lord Humongous dominates his women. And they fucking love him for it. Seriously. We should get out of here. We should get away from all this shit. Make new friends and meet people and stuff and like... Okay, that it hurts. Okay? You're not the only one who fucked up. Okay, you're getting ready to start your new life as Lord Humongous.